going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The draft is over and it's time to go back and revisit the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Welcome on in to another edition of the Love of the Star podcast. We really, really appreciate you hanging out with us here on Odyssey and wherever you get your podcasts. Zach Wolchuk, Super Bowl winning scout. Brian Broaddus. Brian, it's always been a weird feeling for me after we're just grinding away. And we started earlier this year with the way the Cowboys did, November 1st. Which maybe, hey, maybe that's a good thing for us. Maybe that's what you want to do. We kind of worked out for it. We're watching players. It's like every night I'm having FOMO. Like I need to make sure that I'm set in time to watch a guy. You don't want to fall behind. And now the hay's in the barn. The draft's coming and gone. It's over. Now we're just kind of reflecting on the body of work and in the class the Cowboys have put together.
Yeah, it is. Some finality to this. I hope I'm using the right word, when it happens at a couple different times, in the NFL season, when you're in a situation where you're playing all these games and then all of a sudden either the season comes to an end because your record's not good enough or you get into the playoffs and then you lose a game and then your season just halts right there. So all the work that you're put into it, just like, you know, you're driving 200 miles an hour, like in NASCAR, and you just hit the wall and stop. And it's a little bit like that too with the draft. You're right. We start on this, you know, we got a little bit of a early jump because the Cowboys season wasn't going along very well. It didn't look like they were going to make the playoffs. All the things were kind of, you know, going south for them. So you start working on the draft and, you know, you get along and every night you get a kind of a rhythm of looking at players. And then it gets closer and closer. And then you're trying to figure out after you got all the players on the board, you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, what players are they likely going to take? And so you're doing that and it kind of consumes you in a way. And then for 3 days long days, you're just going through it and then trying to, and what's so funny is you do all these players, you work on all these players. And for them to only take 8 to 10 of them, you know, but we do the draft and the draft show, we always talk about the pride we have and been able to talk about when other players are taken. And that's why it's so important to me when somebody is taken that you give that player his due. Because mm-hmm. I'm like you spend, you know, 35, 40 minutes, maybe an hour looking at players, and to get a grade, you look at a film, and you're like, okay, this player, and then you stack them, you put them with it, you write a report, you take notes, whatever you do, and then, you know, boom, you put that player, you grade them, but you just don't want to go by in the draft and like just, you know, it's not about really like just all the Dallas Cowboy players. You want to talk about, I mean, you know, like, okay, why did I spend 10 hours this week watching tape on players and not talk about them? I just, but yeah, you're right. It's just, it's a kind of a crazy, It's this marathon, and then you get to that last point too, and you get it over the finish line, and there is a little bit of that relief that you're able to do it. But man, it was a very, very long journey, and now we're to the point where we're kind of trying to put some things to bed about some of these teams. I don't think team building is over, but for the draft aspect of it, it really, really is.
Yeah, I mean, we can know. I'll go back and we'll bring up some of the undrafted free agents that they've signed, just so people listening can get the names down on the other side, and then talk about some of the other reports that I saw. But let's break down our thoughts on the class. I know you and Eric on Friday had reflected on Tyler Booker, the Cowboys' first round pick guard out of Alabama, pick 12. So we're gonna have to spend a ton of time there. But then they end up, day two, Donovan Ezeraku, the edge from Boston College, who tremendous value there. Savone Revelle, the cornerback from East Carolina. I think you had a first-round grade on him. I had him as the 18th best player. Ezeraku, I had as my 37th best player. I thought where they got him was tremendous value as well. Honestly, I thought about putting him even higher than that. I thought that he was very, very good, one of the better edges in this class. They got a nice haul, in my opinion, on day two, Brian.
Yeah, it was kind of it was interesting because if the way my stack fell, the numbers went 37 at the top, 25 in the middle, and then 11 with the third player. So it's kind of you would think that it would be in reverse order where you would take player 11, then 25, and then 37 as your board goes down. But on my board, it was actually reverse. I had Revelle as my 11th best player. My board's out there. My stack's out there on 105.3 The Fan. I hope the people who are interested took the opportunity to kind of look and see how I had some of these guys rated. But yeah, it was with Booker at 37 on my board, and then Donovan at 25 and Revelle at 11. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, looking at the Dallas Cowboys, for them to get three players inside of 37 for me, I can't say anything but some positive takes from that. With the way that fell for the Cowboys. So from my evaluation standpoint of it, job well done for those three picks.
Yeah, and we made the point over the course of the weekend, and those of you that hung out with us on 105 through the Fan at DallasCowboys.com, we love you. We appreciate you for that. But, I mean, they really – they stood to their grades. They went BPA, and sometimes I'm not sure when they say best player available they're actually going to do that. I don't know that that's how it went with Mozzie Smith. I'm not sure what Tyler got – and maybe he did. Maybe they had him – these players graded way higher than we do. I mean, we all – I think this draft was such a clear reflection of how people see players differently. Like when you look at some of the guys that went undrafted, Isaiah Hudson from UCF. Yeah. I mean, I had a fourth round grade on him. Seth McLaughlin, the Ohio State center. I know you had him high as well. I had a third on him. These guys went undrafted. But where the Cowboys selected, I think all their guys, not only Ezeraku, who I thought was right where he should have gone, Revelle, tremendous value. Blue, I had in the fourth. They get him in the fifth. Johnny Cornelius, I had a four. They had him, got him in the sixth. Jay Toia, I had him in the fifth. They got him in the seventh, right? Like, I thought they really got tremendous value, and they did not say, hey, we got to get a wide receiver. We got to make sure we get a running back. If there were players that they had rated higher, they went ahead and took those guys. And I commend them for going about that, because I think that's how you come away with good draft classes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Zach. I know we had Ross Winchy, the national scout for the Cowboys, on, had an opportunity to visit with him. I encourage, if you didn't get up with us on Saturday morning and catch the hour that from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then even we had Coach White Cotton in as the first round was starting. So, a lot of conversations back and forth. But I asked Ross Winch here. It just appeared to me that, and Zach, I'll take blame for something that happens in the scouting media world. I'll take blame. We talked about receiver, receiver, receiver. We talked about McMillan. We talked about Golden. We talked about Ibuka. We talked about Burden. We talked about Burden. We talked about, you know, I'm just going to keep repeating the same name over and over. We talked about, you know, well, if they don't take McMillan, why do they take Golden? Wait a minute. What's wrong with Burden? Why wouldn't you take Burden? We went really wide receiver heavy. And I think a lot of people, and the Dallas Cowboys will admit it too, that, you know, Stephen Jones said, hey, you know, we could be looking for a second receiver. Well, to them, maybe looking for a second receiver was the fourth round grade they get, or the second round grade they had on Jonathan Mingo. And I know myself, I said it on all my platforms that they're going to tell us that they're okay with Mingo and Tolbert and Adams, and they're going to be fine. And maybe they add some, but it's not necessarily have to be from the draft. And so once McMillan went off the board, then everybody's hopes, everybody's dreams that wanted a wide receiver were like, well, here we go, Golden. Here's the pick. It's going to be Golden. No, they drafted their board. We talked about the number of players between McMillan and, say, that last receiver, whether it's Golden, Ibuka, whoever it was. There was a gap, and in that gap were guys like, you know, it was like Booker the guard. Mm-hmm. You know, me was talking about it so much, not really focusing on the guard, even though right guard is something they have a hole at. That is a hole, you know, receiver, you know, second receiver. It's just the way that we talk about it, and people get conditioned that way. So then when it actually doesn't happen, now we're like, damn, why did they take Golden? What? And, you know, well, they didn't take Golden because they thought Booker was a better player on their board. That's why, you know, their stack reflected that Booker was better than Golden, better than Ibuka, better than, you know, better than any better than Burden.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't going to be, it never was, in my opinion, going to be McMillan and then Golden. It never was going to be that. It was going to be how close is he stacked? Are the tags touching? No, the tags weren't touching because they obviously had a gap between. They drafted their board. And that's the kind of thing that we don't give them enough credit for. We don't, you know, we always worried about Jerry coming in there and, oh my gosh, Shedeur Sanders is on the board. Look out. Jerry's going to throw the big grenade into the middle of the room and everybody, you know, it's going to be that. But talking to Ross Wincy, you could tell by his reaction when I asked him the question, it really was. They didn't set their board up in the way of needs. They set their board up to how they would take the players.
Yeah.
And Azaraku is a great example of that. Sure. An edge need there? No. He's one of the top players we got on our board. So I really do believe when they sat down and put their board together and then, okay, let's go draft.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Their board, they took exactly how their board reflects they should take those players.
And I think we were pretty stunned when they said, like, hey, we don't have our board finalized yet. And then in the post-press draft pressers, you know, you kind of got more of an understanding of that. You know, Brian Schottenheimer talked about, like, you know, disagreements that we had on. You know, we took it seriously. We went back. We went back and watched more tape. We talked with the scouts. We talked because they wanted to make sure that they had the board right. They had this in order, and you've talked about this, of how you will take the players. Why else do you stack them? Why do you put in the work if that's not the order in which you're going to take the players? I think they did an excellent job, and we're going to see here, you know, in Brian Schottenheimer's tenure as the head coach, we've talked about that. Like, Mike McCarthy didn't have a background of being involved in the draft with the Green Bay Packers. Maybe that was a negative why you haven't had great drafts. I'm not putting this all on Mike. But the Cowboys do have a collaborative effort, and they do care about their coaches' opinions. And it does sound like Brian Schottenheimer was very involved, did his homework, was invested, and he's been doing this for 30 years. He's a football lifer. He knows what being part of a draft room looks like, what building a board is like. And I think that this sounds like a very collaborative effort, and I'm excited to see how this class pans out.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, what really gave me encouragement was the fact that initially Brian Schottenheimer said, hey, the scouts are the ones that do this 24/7. You know, we're just going to be a part of it. And then you get Jerry Jones saying, well, I want the coaches to step up and say things. Jerry is used to that. You know, Jerry is used to coaches stepping up. You know, now you got to learn which coaches can scout and which ones can't. And then when that coach has an opinion, if a coach comes in there and has a really good opinion and you feel like, man, this guy's really clicking on these players, then that's the guy you listen to. But if there's a coach in there that's not very good and is kind of way off base, Jerry didn't has or Steven or Will has the ability to say, okay, well, thank you very much, coach. And then you kind of move to the next player. But you got to know who can, and it's a brand new group. The thing that was impressive to me was the enthusiasm which these coaches, when you were listening to the audio with the conversations that they have with these players, and it really was the coaches appeared more excited than some of the players. You know, the players were just like, oh, well, thanks, coach. Dream come true. Oh, so happy. Going to work hard. You know, Matt Eberflus, really excited about having some of his players. You know, when you look at the offensive line coaches and the coordinator and with Coach Adams and how he's, hey man, come in here, be ready to work. You know, just enthusiasm. The secondary coaches, the linebacker, everybody was enthusiastic about having these kids come in and play for them. And I take that as a very positive thing. But I really, like to say, We'll know in 2 years whether this all worked out, whether it was the right direction they took. I'm sure we'll monitor what's happening, you know, in Green Bay with, you know, that receiver up there and how he plays. And, you know, was it the right decision playing the guy? Will Tyler Booker come in here and be that guy that plays, you know, 10, 12 years for you at guard? And everybody talks about, boy, what a great career he had. I mean, we just ushered out a Hall of Fame guard, you know, and I'm not saying this kid could be a Hall of Famer, but I'm saying you've got a guy on the left side that is a Pro Bowl player there in Tyler Smith. Now you put Booker on the other side. BB will continue to grow. You know, these things are helpful to Dak Prescott. The front of the pocket will be very helpful to Dak Prescott. You know, nothing against Brock Hoffman. For me, Brock Hoffman for 4 or 5 games, can dig it. Brock Hoffman for 17 games, I'm a little bit more nervous about that. But I have a better feeling about Booker at 17 games and playing that right guard spot and being ready to go and playing at a very high level.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.